Jake, if you look at government statistics, the rate of inflation has dropped. Job market appears to be very strong. We've seen an interest rate cut. It would look like the economy is headed in the right direction. But some of the polling that we have done at our parent organization is showing that not only businesses, but people aren't really feeling the vibe. What is your thoughts as to why the numbers look good, but people aren't necessarily feeling it?
Because there's an important equation you need to figure in when you're dealing with inflation. And that equation is pain times time equals reality. When inflation first hits, as much as it is a sticker shock, if it's going through from a period of 40 years without inflation, people can absorb it. And Wall Street was cheering every time they got information about a company that was raising prices and still doing well with their sales. Now it's 3 years later, and the pain has been spread out over time to the point where people are cutting back on their spending, to the point where new habits have been formed not to spend, and that's death for businesses, it's death for people getting laid off, and it's death for a sitting administration. So it's a trifecta of bad things.
We're finding that inflation is still a key problem for businesses around the country here, Jake. When do businesses get to the point where inflation has bit into their operating costs, but they can no longer continue to raise prices and still retain customers? Are we starting to see that happening?
Yeah, I mean, my answer is about 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we started to see profits from Wall Street starting to drop, even though their sales were, you know, somewhat steady, but it's just not happening for them. So we're seeing it now with these earnings reports. This is earnings season now, this, you know, few weeks period right now. And we're seeing that companies are doing okay, but only because they have cut back on their costs, not because people are buying more of their things. So we started to see it 6 months ago. New habits are forming. That's the death. You can have a situation where people buy less of something over a short period of time, but it's 3 years now, and people are not buying the new cars like they were a few years ago. People are not buying the better cut of meat. That's what's happening now.
A big part of inflation, a big part of the rising costs here, Jake, has been energy. And we are seeing a lot of instability in the Mideast, a recent attack on an oil refinery, or what looks like an attack on an oil refinery. I want to talk a bit about the energy market and how all this instability is playing out when it comes to oil gas prices in particular.
Well, you see, I'm not all gloom and doom. The energy markets have been surprisingly resilient in a good way, keeping their prices low despite since October 7th. You know, the price of oil is significantly lower than it was on October 6th. Now, that has a lot to do with a couple of things, not the least of which being that Saudi Arabia has really stepped up. Not only are they not putting political pressure on Israel, their new kind of quasi-ally, but they're not reducing production to put the squeeze on us and to raise oil prices. Plus, there's been more of an economic slowdown in China than they expected. So those things are working in tandem, and thank goodness. And then we had this attack on a refinery, or what looks like an attack. We'll never get the official story. And that didn't do anything to the oil markets either. They yawned. No rise. So there's your good news. You're not getting killed at the gas pump. It's still more than it was in 2020, but at least you have some silver lining there.
Iran, of course, is a major supplier of oil to the world energy markets. And we do have this situation, Jake, where a couple of weeks back, Iran unleashed a missile barrage at Israel. Israel has not yet responded. Any signals coming from the Israeli government as to when or how there is going to be a response?
Yeah, there's not going to be a signal. I mean, they did have a cabinet vote a few days ago approving a retaliation plan, but of course, that's secret. You know, we don't know that they haven't already done some of it already. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that the head of the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, that's Iran's terrorist army that spreads out all over the world and commits terrorism everywhere, especially closer to Iran, that he was in a torture chamber in Iran because they had started to believe some rumors that he may have been the person who ratted out the head of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, who the Israelis took out at the end of last month. So that may be part of the retaliation, the intelligence operation that has created a circular firing squad in Iran, where the IRGC no longer trusts the Ayatollahs no longer trust the IRGC. And this is like a Twilight Zone episode. They may just take all of each other out, and that would be nice. No American troops, no civilians killed, just let them all do that. Now, that probably won't be enough, because maybe they'll get wind of it at some point. But there is an intelligence operation going on well beyond the knowledge of you and me, and I think that that's okay. That's all fair in these kinds of war situations. And if they're killing each other over there, they're all murderers anyways. And by that, I mean the Ayatollahs and the IRGC. So I wish both sides great victories.
There's a lot of concern about the Biden administration, and it's tried to straddle the fence here on this whole situation that Israel finds itself in, trying to fight off terrorists from literally all sides all around it. Do you see the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, because Kamala Harris has said that she wouldn't change anything from what Joe Biden has done, are they being the type of ally that Israel really needs at this point?
They're not being the type of ally that America needs. You have a tremendous percentage of the Biden-Harris administration who are flat-out pro-Iranian, either ideologically in the misbegotten notion that making Iran a balanced power in the Middle East will somehow bring peace. It's the opposite. Iran has to have no power if you want to have peace in the Middle East. Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Egyptians, they're all copacetic. They're fine. The only problem now is Iran. Balancing Iran means more war, not less. And that isn't good for the United States. That certainly isn't good for Israel. And I've made this point many times before. It's not just about the voters in Michigan and Minnesota. That is incidental. Sure, they'd like those voters. But when Obama was president and these same people were messing up our foreign policy, Michigan and Minnesota weren't even remotely in play. So this is about an ideological, misbegotten notion. This is about anti-Semitism. And this is about money. Iran still has tremendous cash flow. You think that the United States transferring hundreds of billions of dollars to Iran since 2015 didn't have somebody getting a finder's fee? There's never been a transaction in history where that much money went from point A to point B without the people who facilitated it getting some of the percentage. So I flat out believe that there are people in the State Department and in the intelligence departments who get money, who are paid off for this, which is why they're so angry about Donald Trump imposing the sanctions, which probably cut off their cash flow, which is why they're so angry about him ending the nuclear deal, which they immediately restarted as soon as they got back in office. Nobody voted for Joe Biden to restart the nuclear deal, you know, but that was their top priority. It's just so telling and so depressing.
Jake Novak is a podcaster with Jake's Takes. You can find it on Substack. Want to give us a little more detail, Jake, as to where folks can go to hear your podcast. Also, you have a daily newsletter that you put out.
Yes, I do a couple of daily newsletters. First is just a straight business newsletter. It's actually high school level. You don't have to be a stock market trader or anyone. That's my morning business briefing. You find that on my Substack, jakenovak.substack.com. You can subscribe for free. Also on that site, I have my 5 and 3, which is my top 5 stories of the day, which I think are the top 5 world stories of the day and American stories. And I do them in 3 minutes with analysis. So you have the rest of your day to do what you want to do. And everything that I'm doing from an hour-to-hour point, always good to check my Twitter X feed, at JakeJakeNY. That's where you'll find the links to the things I'm doing in other places and my appearances elsewhere. So it's always good to check that too as well.
Jake Novak from Jake's Takes, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.